because the old broken world that we used to live in doesn't have very much to offer us. It just doesn't have a way to deal with the burdens and the difficulties that we all face. We know that we're going to face those difficulties, but the old broken world just doesn't really have much to offer us. And so we learn to live like freed people, and we help to bear each other's burdens. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 25, Paul said this: "If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another," because that's the way the old world lives. That's the way the brokenness affects people. But the apostle says, brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to himself, so that you're not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one of us must examine his own work, and then he'll have reason for boasting, but to himself alone, not to another. Each one bears his own load. We get to bear one another's burdens. Now, we talked last week about the reason that people who don't know God can't really bear burdens for others. We talked about how people trust in themselves. They even obey themselves. And because they obey themselves and because they set up their own standard for the way that people ought to live, do nothing to help other people. They only look down on other people. That's just a natural consequence of obeying yourself and not having a relationship with God. But the Apostle Paul says that we, because we're freed people, we know how to bear each other's burdens. Well, what kind of people can be effective? First, it's people who have established a relationship. Secondly, because they've established a relationship, they take on responsibilities. See, people in the world don't do that. And because of that, they can't bear burdens, but we can. And because we can help bear others' burdens, we know that there's laid up for us a great reward. You know, free people just have a new relationship with, first with God, of course. We've established a relationship with Jesus, and that affects us in a lot of different ways. Ephesians, the first chapter at verse 3, the apostle says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So you put on Jesus. You establish a relationship with him, and that's the key to understanding blessing. If you don't have that relationship, you're not going to be able to understand those blessings. But because we have a relationship with Jesus, we also have a relationship with other members of the body. You know, we really are in this together. We've been hearing that a lot as we've been dealing with the pandemic, but nobody really believed it, it seemed. Everybody was in it for themselves. Yeah, we're all in it together, unless I want to go to a special breakfast or a special birthday party for my friends up in Marin County, and I'm not going to wear a mask. Everybody else is going to have to wear masks. Or I want to travel to Mexico. You see, people obey themselves. But because we really are all in this together, and we really do have relationships with everybody that's enjoying this relationship with God. In Matthew 23 at verse 8, Jesus says, "You are all brothers and sisters." Romans, the 12th chapter, at verse 4. Just as we have many parts in our bodies, and all the body's parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we're parts of one another. We really are together. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, a passage that we're all intimately familiar with, where the apostle argues that the head cannot say to the feet, "You're not the head, so you're not part of the body." And the eye can't say to the ear, "You can't see, so you're not part of the body, you're not important." Everyone is important. No one is above anyone else. And because we have that vantage point, because we have that relationship with each other, we bear each other's burdens. Now, having a relationship with each other means that we take on some responsibilities, doesn't it? You know, I was reminded of the story of Cain and Abel. Cain had killed Abel because Cain's sacrifice wasn't what it should have been. And God asked Cain, "Where's Abel?" He said, "Well, my brother's keeper." That's the way the world looks at things. That's the way unfreed people, people who are still slaves, that's the way they look at things. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, no. But in fact, we are. We just got back off a vacation with the family down in Yosemite. And it's a marvelous thing to see family. I got to see older cousins take younger cousins out in a kayak, because the younger cousins needed somebody that was a little bit older to go with them to help keep them out of trouble. And it wasn't just Nolan, the oldest of the cousins. It was from Nolan all the way down. Everybody was pulling together. And it wasn't always just the older kids pulling for the younger kids. Sometimes it was the younger kids pulling for the younger kids. That's the way it ought to be. In Galatians 6, Paul says it this way, which it's the passage that we just finished reading. "Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, that you're not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Well, I said that we have a relationship with each other. We really are brothers keepers. But you know, when you think about the church, and especially the church as it existed in the first century, this new relationship meant that there were new problems. Every time you have a relationship with somebody, you take on their problems. You make it a part of your own life. I hope you get a chance to meet Jason. Jason, I was thinking about Jason of Veronica, and you know, Jason, every time he prayed up in Alaska, he would always include in his prayer, "God, bring us just one more person that we can serve." Now, it also seemed like every time Jason prayed that, somebody else showed up at the door, and that new person had another problem that you had to deal with. But I really appreciated Jason and his prayers. I was reading a little bit about fellowship. One man, I think, had a really good way of understanding fellowship. He said it's two people who are under the same load. When two people work together, you can accomplish it. Kim and I can even paddle a kayak together. She paddles and I steer. or she steers, I paddle, or she tells me I'm steering in the wrong direction. Somebody said married people should never ride in the same kayak. You know, two people bearing under the same load means that we're going to take on a lot of experiences, and we're going to take on a lot of other people's problems. The things that we experience and value the most will determine the degree of our involvement with other people. Think about the church in Jerusalem. And we'll just very quickly notice some of the things that characterize the church in Jerusalem. In Acts 2 at verse 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They were just together. And this new relationship, when you had all these people coming together, each one was contributing his own problems. And if you weren't a freed person, you'd have said, I don't want anything to do with those folks because they do nothing but introduce problems. We need to be more like me. Then we wouldn't have all of these problems. Well, we'd have my problems, but that's okay. I just don't want your problems. Think about everything that happened. They were strangers. They came from all over the world to Jerusalem for the feast, and they heard the first gospel sermon, and they put on Christ. 3,000 of them in one day. In Acts, the second chapter, at verse 44, it says, the believers were together. They had all things common. They would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that no one had need. Day to day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. But you had people, they didn't even speak my language. And we had to somehow find a way to get together. Peter talked about that. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, at verse 9, Peter says pointedly, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Be hospitable. And that means a lot. Well, there was persecution. Every time a new guy came in, there was more persecution. And these new people were bringing new reasons to be persecuted. In Acts, the 4th chapter, after Peter and John had been released, they had healed a man who was lame. And then the Sanhedrin had dragged them in front of the court. They charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Now the early Christians had gathered together. They were worried about Peter and John. They were praying. And here come Peter and John. They come to the door. Now, I know that Peter and John are in trouble with the law. I'm not going to let them in. Because if I let them in, the law is coming right behind them, right? But when they'd been released, they went to their own companions. They reported everything that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices to God with one mind. And they said, Lord, it is you that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them. They didn't worry about persecution. Even though every time somebody came in, they brought more of it. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, at verse 3. We read this, Remember the prisoners as though you're in prison with them, and those who are badly treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. So remember the prisoners. It's a relief sometimes when some people go to jail, because then you don't have to deal with them anymore. And yes, I have even felt that way. Felt that way about one fellow that went to jail because he was a pedophile. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. Went to see him anyway. Didn't do it willingly. I did it because I had to do it, because that's what God wanted me to do. But you know, that's really difficult. I'd have been happy if he wasn't part of the body and I didn't have to deal with his problem. They had all kinds of needs. In Acts, the 6th chapter, it says that at this time, as the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint developed on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being neglected or overlooked in the daily serving of food. They were together. They had all things common. They were helping each other. And then you had some people that felt like they were being neglected. All these needs, they kept piling up. Every time somebody new came in, it seemed like they just brought another pile of needs with them. James, the 1st chapter, James says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained by the world. We help. They're overtaken in a fault. Now remember, the way that we understood overtaken in a fault or overtaken in any wrongdoing, that's any burden. They hadn't become orphans because they had sinned. They became orphans because their parents died. That wasn't something that involved sin. But he says, you freed people, you help bear that burden that they are bearing. And, you know, I guess it's particularly important to us right now to understand that there's a lot of death and grief. And taking people close to our bosom means that we're going to deal with it. Kim and I lost a little puppy. That's not the same thing as losing a parent. But you know, losing a puppy, losing a family pet, sometimes means that you look at the world and say, I don't want to take on another pet because I'm likely to lose that one as well. I don't want to get close to people because sometimes people die. I don't want to get married because my wife might die. And then it hurts, and it hurts badly, and we run away from it. In Acts, the 8th chapter, Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning at a, we're going to begin reading at verse 1 because I want to set the stage for verse 2. On that day, great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen, and they mourned for him. There's a lot of grief, a lot of death, and we've experienced it. We know what that's like. So you don't want to get close to people because they might die. Romans, the 12th chapter, at verse 15. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Bear their burden. On top of all of that, they had some suspicious converts. You remember who Saul was? Saul was the one who was standing by when Stephen was stoned. They were laying their coats at Saul's feet. He was giving assent to Stephen being stoned. And in Acts, the 9th chapter, after Saul had been converted, he came to Jerusalem and he wanted to join himself to the church there. You know what their response was? No! We're not going to take on your problems. We don't want that. Acts 9, beginning at verse 26. He came to Jerusalem. He tried repeatedly to associate with the disciples, yet they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he was a disciple. Understandable? Well, sure. That's what we learned living in a broken world. But Barnabas, who was acting like a freedman, Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road, that he had talked to him, how he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus at Damascus. And then he became a part of them. He was with them coming in and going out. Taking on a new relationship means that we take on new responsibilities that sometimes we would want to avoid. Now we know later, Paul was the man that wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. But these people didn't want him to be a part of their group. That's what he was supposed to be, though. Freed people who continue in this new relationship, who learn to do it better and to grow in this new relationship, who accept the responsibilities with the problems that those relationships bring, are going to receive a great reward from God. In Luke, the 18th chapter, read with me verses 29 and 30. You know, the apostles came to Jesus. They said, we've lost everything because we're following you. This new relationship stuff. They started following Jesus and left their homes. They left their nets. They no longer were fishermen. Matthew gave up a profitable tax collecting business. He said to them, truly I say to you, there's no one who's left his house or his wife or his brothers or his parents or his children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life. Is it good to take on a new relationship with Jesus, and because of that, a new relationship with all these other people, and to take on their burdens, their awfulness, and help them deal with it? It's profitable now, and it's profitable, of course, in heaven. You remember Jesus and his discussion about the judgment, Matthew, the 25th chapter, where we're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to skip down to verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, Jesus says, and all his angels with him, then he'll sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. He'll separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king said this to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for the one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. We bear one another's burdens. And you know, it's not always the big things that count the most. Sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes it's a cup of cold water. Sometimes it's selling land so that you can help somebody who's in need. Yeah, I knew a man who used to buy cars, fix them up, just so he could give them to people who needed to have some transportation. That was his skill. He did it, and he did it over and over and over again. In fact, he bought my Miata, fixed it up, and gave it to somebody that needed a car. That's the way he helped. He took on other people's problems, made them his own. And do you know what? People around him thought he was crazy. Now, we're going to talk about that at 6 o'clock tonight. But being in Christ is a great thing. Put him on in baptism. Make him yours. We'll help you do that. Not just now. We'll help you anytime do that. That's not something that's a part of the assembly. But we want you to put on Christ. We want you to take on all of these burdens. We want you to make yourself miserable. Because somebody that you willingly accepted got sick, and you helped them. People won't understand that, but we do, and we think you would be benefited. So we're going to bring our service to a conclusion. It's been a good assembly. Been nice to be able to be together. Been wonderful to be able to shake each other's hands. And it's really neat to be able to see people smile. That's a good thing. And if you're here and there's anything we can do to help, that's what we want to do.